This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, and we're coming here with a study we've been bringing you for a few days now on the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we want to get back to our study. In our last study, we were looking there at the Church of Ephesus. We'd come down that far, and we're looking at the Church of Ephesus. The Apostle Paul established the church at Ephesus, and you'll find a record of this in the 18th, 19th, and 20th chapters of Acts. This is the most interesting story of the power of preaching of the gospel and how far-reaching it was. It'd be worth your time to go there and read that in conjunction with these studies. We had come down, we had looked at the salutation to the church at Ephesus. We had come down to the commendation. He says, I know thy works, I know thy labors, and so forth. And in our last study, we had come down close to the end of that commendation. We want to look there just a moment, if you will. We want to look there and go back there and pick up where we were in our last study. He said, thou hast tried them which call themselves apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. This church was careful about its doctrine. They were also careful what it listened to, and they readily judged false teachers. They refused to tolerate false teachers of any sort, and could detect them when they first began to speak. We praise the Lord for such a church that had both the discernment and the spiritual energy to reject those she found false. Any group of born-again believers, blood-bought, can discern immediately false teaching, I believe, whether the emphasis is put where it ought to be or not. Let's look at these words. Thou hast patience. Thou hast borne for my name's sake. To suffer while you labor and not grow weary is no doubt a fine mark of a vigorous life. Because he also said, thou hast not fainted nor grown weary. They seem to have a great reserve of strength. Yes, this was a great church. No wonder the gospel was preached all over Asia Minor in so short a time, and they did it under persecution and suffering and pain. When Christ had ended these commendations, he registered against them, the church there at Ephesus, a complaint in these words, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Would you listen to that? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, even with all of the good things so-called that he had called their attention to, how he had commended them. He says, somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. As you read and reread all those commendations, you're made to wonder if there was anything that Christ could register against that church. And we must confess that only the penetrating eye of the flame of fire, which is the eye of love, could ever detect and bring to light the hidden failures of the church there at Ephesus. Thou hast left thy first love. That was all Christ said, but that was enough. Oh, I wish you'd think about it. Thou hast left thy first love. What is first love? Let me answer it if I can. It is the love between the bride and the bridegroom. First love may be said to be the love of the espousal, bride and bridegroom. Let me see if I can illustrate it. Let me just tell you this little story. A young woman met her girlfriend on the street one day and said, oh, you're not down at the plant anymore. Her reply was, no, I've quit the job and I'm married. To her, cleaning the house, cooking, washing, mending, caring for him, caring was not work. She cleaned the house for him. She kept everything spotless for him. She cooked those meals for him. Then she would stand on the front porch, looking and waiting and longing for his coming. Her eyes sparkled when she saw him coming around the curve, approaching the house. When he arrived, she fell into his arms, caressed him, loved him. He was her whole light and desire. In the morning, when he would get ready to leave, she would hang on to him, follow him to the front gate, wave goodbye, and watch him until he was out of her sight. That, my friend, is first love. But the time comes, and the time came, when she didn't follow him out to the gate. She would tell him goodbye from the stairs. The time came when she didn't stand on the front porch and wait and long to see him. Why? She had lost her first love. She had become taken up with other things. She had cleaned the houses before. She had kept it spotless, clean, and cooked his meals, kept up his clothes. She did all those things that she used to do. There was no difference in her labor, but it was her labor without love, and she had left her first love. Christ saw all the activity of this church, all of her labors, all of her toil, all of her sufferings. He saw her church discipline, how she hated sin and false doctrine, all of that. But his heart cried out and said, O Ephesus, thou hast left thy first love. I'm standing here in your midst, but you don't praise me like you used to. Where is the blessedness you once knew? Where are those heartfelt, unusual prayers? Where are those songs that were once on your lips? Where is the freshness of the dew that was once on your brow? Ephesus, you have left your first love. I know that no soul can try to love him. Listen, saints, when first you felt your need of Christ as your Savior, your Redeemer, you fell at his feet as a lost sinner. When he revealed himself to you, found a perfect salvation in him, he poured out his love into your heart. That love consumed everything in your life. I love to see when the Lord saves a sinner. I love to see that freshness, don't you? Oftentimes here, Lord save one here and one there, and they call me on the phone at night, or I see them in the next service, and they just... I described it like this to a young man recently whom the Lord has saved. I said he was walking about 18 inches off the floor. He couldn't quit praising the Lord for saving a poor old sinner. But listen, my friend, often we are taken up with Christ. Christ, at night we fell asleep in his arms. We felt his right arm. In the morning the dew of youth was up on his brow. At noonday we turned our eyes towards heaven and praised the Lord. That's first love, my friend. That's the first love. Oh, but listen, this church had gotten away, had fallen away from her first love. I remember, and I'm sure you do, the story of how David sinned. What an awful thing he did. But you remember his prayer after he had sinned? The baby had died, and he began to confess his sin and mourn over his sins. What did he say? He said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Not salvation. I have folks tell me, well, old David, he was just an old sinner. And he lost his... No, he never lost his salvation. Surely it was a terrible sin, and he suffered for it. But he asked the Lord to restore the joy of his salvation. My sinner friend, what grace it will be if the Lord ever saves you. My believer friend, maybe you've contaminated. Maybe you've been taken up with things that you shouldn't be. Maybe you've walked in the midst. I know when I used to work in the business world, the secular world, be around the smoking and cussing and drinking and things, you know, or even in the office with the smoke so thick you couldn't hardly breathe. I'd go home at night. I'd have to take a clean bath. I'd have to get a bath and change clothes before I could even sit around and talk with anyone. My clothes reek with smoke. Not that I smoke, no, but I was contaminated with the world. And that's what this church had done. Oh, listen, my friend, they were taken up with things, programs, church work. Maybe that's your problem. Pastor, I asked you, are you programming your people to death? I've talked to folks who are still in some church. Like I used to see, and you know, before the Lord saved me, they had this program, they had Easter program, they had Christmas program, they had Halloween program, they had Valentine's Day program, always a program. They had a program to take the kids to the beach in the summertime, let them strip off with one of those little bikinis on, and go in the girls and boys together there on the coast somewhere. All of those programs, my friend, and I don't know if if they were saved or not. But listen, you can program your folks to death. And then I've seen churches where they had church on Sunday night, deacons meeting on Monday night, businessmen's business meeting on Tuesday night, church again on Wednesday night, a choir practice on Thursday night, and then a potluck supper on Friday night. They just programmed the church to death, my friend. And they lost their first love. But I asked you, are you taken up with those things, programs, church work, and don't have time for prayer and fellowship with the Lord? I believe it's a serious thing. I believe it's a prevalent thing in our day today. Oh, now we have basketball games in the gym at the church two or three nights a week. Some churches do. We don't do that, my friend. I tell you, most of the time that I bring this message, we're just an old-fashioned, old-time gospel preaching church. We don't do those things. Oh, listen. And the Lord said, my children, you've lost your first love. The only thing Christ wants for us is to be in love with Him. Did you know that? Paul put it like this in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us go back and read Christ's commendation to the church at Ephesus and see if we can detect the missing note. Christ said, I know thy works, I know thy labor, I know thy patience. It was not a work of faith, it was not a labor of love, or a patience of hope. Listen now, you see the missing note, don't you? It was a labor without love. It was a work without faith, patience without hope. Why? They had left their first love. Surely the churches at Ephesus had work, they had labor and patience, but the missing things were the faith, the love, and the hope. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these, the Apostle Paul would say, is love. Their first love they had lost. Oh, I asked you today, pastor, preacher, young preacher, has your church lost its first love? Are you preaching Christ and Him only? Or are you just preaching a program? Do you have it all laid out? 52 sermons laid out for Sunday morning? You can't do that, my young preacher. Ask the Lord to lay on your heart. Ask the Lord. The Lord knows what your church needs. The Lord knows if your church is repented or not. You may need to preach on repentance. You may need to preach on faith. You may need to preach on other things. Ask the Lord to lead you and guide you and direct you. Don't become an Ephesus. Oh, my friend, the joy of knowing the Lord is what it's all about. Not just a social club. Many of our churches have turned into social clubs. They just fellowship on a secular basis. They talk about the office, what's going on, the stock market, and they meet around the smoke in a smoke filled room somewhere. But my friend, let's don't do that. Let's praise the Lord. Let's go about daily praising the Lord day by day. Why should we praise the Lord, you say? Because Christ died for us. Oh, the love of God. The love of God that He would die. Christ would die for a sinner like us. It's not to have church. The church didn't die for anybody. We come here to the tabernacle. That's our church building. But the church is the folks who meet there and praise the Lord on a daily, weekly basis, thanking the Lord for salvation, thanking the Lord for their blood redemption, praising the Lord. And I believe this church at Ephesus, the Lord uses it as an example. Remember the old Trailblazers address? Radio Missions or the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785. Till next time, goodbye and God bless you.
This month, Radio Missions is offering a new flash drive containing the original Old Trailblazer broadcasts as presented by Pastor L.R. Shelton in the early days of the ministry. These flash drives contain over 100 historic messages with sound effects. Each flash drive is $15 postpaid. For information, call the church office at 225-664-8658. That's 225-664-8658.